Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are a New Beginnings ministry, and we're going to say it again that New Beginnings are not just for the young. I'm Suzanne, and I'll be your host this evening, and we have a special treat for you this evening, as we have Minister David Reed from Indiana, from Mishawaka, Indiana, who will be speaking to us this evening. So we're excited to be able to share, for him to be able to share with us. If you're listening by phone and you'd like to join us in conversation, please press 1, and I will see the signal in the queue that you want to join us in the conversation. Otherwise, you, please feel free to welcome to this phone number and web address with your friends, please. If you're online and you want to check in with us or chat online, just do so. Hit the chat box and write your message, and I will share it online. Otherwise, we're going to go on and get started. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Father God, we thank you for this ministry, God. Thank you, Lord, for this time, Father God, that we'll be able to share your word, Father God. We thank you, dear Lord, that it be a blessing to all that listen, to all that hear it, Father God, hearing it live, Father God, or it, and even those, Father God, that will hear it in the future, Father God, via our archived recordings, Father. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that each and every home that hears this message, Father God, will be blessed. We ask you, Father God, that you would just anoint our speaker, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
That you would give them the word, Father God, to say, dear Lord, and to teach us this evening. We come to him, Father God. We come before you, dear Lord, with an open heart, Father God, a heart, a teachable heart, Father God, ready to receive your word. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we say amen and amen. Well,
amen.
Reverend Reese, Minister Reese, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Good. Well, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, or the mic over to you, and you just do your thing with the teaching. As someone, if someone wants to speak, I'll interrupt you, and hopefully a good time, and plug our listeners in, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We want to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5, beginning at verse 1 through 14. Again, 2 Kings, chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 1 through verse 14. And for a thought or title, I'd like to use the blessing of a dirty and unclean place. The blessing of a dirty and unclean place. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1, it reads this way. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his master, or his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land, from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and a change of raiment, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee. that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horse and with his chariot and stood in the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in the Jordan. This is important right here. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be cleaned? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, and according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. 2 very important points here. One is that Naaman was upset. He was frustrated because he expected the man of God to come out to him and to do some grand gesture to cause him to be healed. How many times do we look for God to do something grand to prove himself to us, to be a healer, to be a deliverer, to be, as we like to call him, a burden bearer, a yoke destroyer? How many times do we try to make God do something that we need to see in order to believe him? See, this was Naaman's problem. He wanted to see something happen before the manifestation of what he had come for. And there are some times in life where we have to go to some places that are unclean. Now, the Jordan was the dirtiest river in all of Israel. So this is why he says, well, aren't the rivers in Damascus far better than all the rivers of Israel? But had he had gone to any other river, he would not have recovered himself of his leprosy. He would not have been free of the thing that was plaguing him. So how many times has God given us a direct order and we decided to go the opposite direction of when God said to go right and we went left? Because we felt that God would honor what we did. See, the blessing of a dirty or unclean place is, in the midst of what I'm dealing with, in the midst of all of the garbage and stuff that surrounds me, there is still something there that brings me what it is that I need. Because even when Naaman went to the Jordan, the water may have been dirty, but this is what I believe. that God had cleaned the water. And even though it looked dirty on the surface, once you got beneath the surface is where you would find the clean water. This is why the prophet told him to go and wash in the Jordan. It had been set apart or sanctified for this moment in Naaman's life. Where is it that God has directed you to go? And you decided to go to another place. When God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet spoke to Naaman, the Bible says he was wroth. So how many times have we gotten angry about what the man or woman of God has spoken to us, that God has spoken to them concerning our life and the direction of our life? Any questions, any comments?
I have a caller, area code 216. Would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. This is David Dickey in Cleveland. How's everyone?
Hi, how are you?
Fine. This is one of my favorite stories, even though it's not like a story. But I think it really hinges upon obedience of Naaman was asked to do. Now, I believe that Jordan was as dirty as it was, and that's God's way of humbling us to still do what he's asked to do, even though on the outside, you know, he's looking at it as if it's, and it was some muddy river and whatnot. And it was, I don't think it changed. I think it was just the fact that this is what is required. Obedience is always greater than sacrifice. Just like when we talked, I think, a week or two ago about, Jonah. You know, he didn't want to obey. You know, once again, obedience, you know, is better than sacrifice. Just like Christ. Christ, hence, all of everything of going to the cross was obedience is better than sacrifice. So it teaches us, for me, and what I get out of that story is to do what is asked, be obedient. Don't second, just go ahead and do it. And let the outcome present itself to who God is and how he has manifested his power in solving a particular problem or situation. I really love this story.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yep.
If anyone else would like to make a comment or add to what was just said, just press 1 on your dial, on your phone keypad, and that'll notify me that you are interested in speaking live online. So if not, we'll continue with our teaching. Thank you so much, listener.
Okay. You're welcome.
Amen. One other passage of scripture I'd like to go to really quickly is 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse 14. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. And it reads this way. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
in Second Kings chapter 5, Naaman's land was himself. His body needed to be healed of the leprosy. And as the man of God was just saying, is it was dedicated or was conditioned upon his obedience to what the man of God had already spoken to him. Where is it that God has given us a specific or precise instruction and we decided to alter it and say, well, I'm not going to go that way. I'll go this way and then that way, trying to find a shortcut or a way around what God has planned for the destiny of our life. Mankind looks for an easy way to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. Easy, quick. I want to get it as quick as possible. But when it comes to God, there are no shortcuts to getting what it is that you need from God. God has a specific plan, and he gives you a specific roadmap to get there, or specific instructions on how to get to the place that you need to get to, both naturally and spiritually. So here is Naaman, who is angry because he wanted to see a manifestation, frustrated because he has to go to a place that is unclean. It's a dirty place. But in the midst of all of that dirt and uncleanness, his healing lives. God uses the most unconventional ways, according to our thinking, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But what we think we should do in order to be healed or delivered from something is not God's plan for us to be healed or delivered from something. So we try to find a shortcut. This is why he wanted to go to one of the rivers that were in Damascus, something that was cleaner, that looked more purified. But it wasn't the clean water on the surface that was going to get him healed. It was his obedience to God that was going to get him what he desired from God, which was to be cleaned or cleansed from his leprosy. Leprosy is not just a disease of the skin, but it's also some, let me say this the way I see it. It also comes in many different forms. It comes in the way that we act sometimes. It comes in the way that we think. Sometimes our different method of thinking can cause us to be in a separated or segregated place, which is what they did with the lepers. Both Old and New Testament, they separated the lepers from the group because they didn't want anyone else to catch whatever it was that they had. But sometimes the people we hang around with have the wrong idea. They have the wrong belief system, or their faith doesn't match where we're trying to go. Not to say that they're lepers, but their faith is not going to the place we need it to be in our situation. Because when you connect with people whose faith don't meet the level that your faith does, it can cause a hindrance. This is why Amen. The scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Mm-hmm. Later in 2 Kings chapter 5, you find out that Gehazi ends up with the same thing that Naaman got healed from, all because of his disobedience. He decided to not only lie to Naaman, but that he was going to take what Naaman offered to the prophet. I wish I could teach this the way I see it in my eyes. he decided, he made it up in his mind, this is what I'm going to do. Since the prophet won't accept it, since my master won't accept it, I'm going to get it for me. But in his disobedience, when he came back to the man of God, he already knew what had happened. And then he ended up cursed. Gehazi ended up cursed because he let his flesh overrule the direction that the man of God had given him. So many times we put our situation ahead of what God is saying. God, I need an answer right now. God, I need an answer right now. And God is saying, wait, hold on, just a moment. I've got an answer for you, but it's going to take you a little while to get to it. But God, I need an answer right now. So the quickest thing we can find is what we do. This is why we talk to people who don't have the same faith level we have when it comes to something that is dealing with our faith. God, I believe God for this house. That's 6 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, and it's on 16 acres of land. But the person that you share this thing with, your belief or your faith in this house, this land, that you believe God is going to give to you, is living in an apartment. And their only mentality is an apartment complex. If their faith doesn't match where you are, it hinders your growth process. And it hinders your faith from reaching the level that it needs to be in order for you to obtain the thing that you see in your mind that you believe that God is going to give to you. Imagine if Naaman had got angry when he was in his hometown. What would have happened had he not went ahead and went to Israel to get what he needed from God? Because only God could do it. What if he had turned around when he was angry and he said, you know what, I'm just not going to deal with this. I'll go back to where I came from. And I'll just live in the state I'm in. How often do we live in the state we're in when God is trying to pull us to a better place? Because we like the comfortability of where we are. It's comfortable. I know what this place is. I know how the people around me act. I understand what they're going to do before they do it because I know how they act. I know what they're going to say. I know when I tell them something that it's going to be told to this one and that one and this one and that one. So I'd rather stay here where I know the people I'm around rather than moving to the place that God is trying to take me to, an unfamiliar place. But in the unfamiliar place is where the blessing lies. Any questions, any comments?
Area code 216. Area code 216, do you have any comments? You're on the air live.
Okay. Is that me?
Yes.
Am I still in queue? Oh, okay.
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. No, I concur with, you know, everything that's being shared. Once again, you know, it's an obedience factor that comes into play, as well as I'm not sure if it's a disobedience in terms of what the servant did. Gehazi, I don't think he was so much disobedience, but he wanted something that was not. It was freely given, then he wanted to take credit for receiving something that, you know, he did not have a part of. It's almost to me like us sharing the gospel with you know, other people is something that was freely bestowed upon us to share, and then
mm-hmm.
in turn for us to turn around and try to lay claim to the reward of doing that. So got to be careful with what you do and your intentions more than anything.
Absolutely.
You know, so good lesson here. Very good lesson.
We have another 216 area code in queue. 216. Okay. If you want to speak, press 1. Some folks are pressing 1 and not talking. Area code 631.
Once you press 1 and share your comment, should you press 1 again to get out of queue or stay in?
I'll take you out of queue sometimes and then come back to you if you still have a question, or you can press it again.
Oh, okay. I see. All right.
Okay, area code 574, area code 216. Any comments? Okay, Minister Reed.
Amen. Let's go down here in 2 Kings chapter 5, to verse number 20. Verse number 20, it reads this way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, and is not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there become to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content. Take 2 talents." And he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon his 2 servants, excuse me, and they bare them before him. Verse 24. And when he came to the tower, good God Almighty. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither." He said, "I didn't go anywhere." And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. How often do we think that if we just do one thing different than the oracle or the direction of God concerning our lives, that God is going to be okay with the fact that we altered the plan of our life because of how we felt or what we desired at the moment?
Gehazi ended up in a place he never was meant to be. But he decided to get some goods for something he had no part in. Because he says, I came on behalf of my master. This is what I came for. And Elisha had never sent him. But he took it upon himself. Well, since Elisha's not going to take it, I'll take it. When God gives us a direct order, and when God connects us with people in our life that can lead us to the place we need to be, why is it that we desire, or we decide, rather, to do something completely different than what God has said? Why do we choose to go a different route other than what God has planned? Because we get mad? Because we get frustrated? Because we don't think things are moving fast enough? Because we've been manipulated by other people who have been bruised and battered by situations that they're in? Manipulation is a strong thing. And a lot of people have gone to a lot of places they shouldn't have been because they were manipulated. Taking this little rabbit trail here. Gehazi, though, was not manipulated by anyone. He was making a decision for himself. He wanted something, so he decided, this is what I'm going to do. He took advantage of a situation. How many times have we done that? Taking advantage of a situation when all we had to do was just walk away. But because it was there at the moment, that's what we did. See, the blessing of a dirty and unclean place is it can cause a few things to happen in your life. Number one, it can cause you to be fully restored from the place that you were broken in. Because the things that happen to you in a unclean place or a dirty place cause you to rely on God more than you rely on the things you can do for yourself.
Amen.
Number two, it can destroy some of the soul ties that you've had in your life from things that you've connected yourself with, people you've connected yourself with, places you've been that you just never could seem to get rid of in your mind. See, the place washes away some of that stuff that's been in you that you couldn't get rid of, that you desired to get rid of. We've all been to that moment in time where we felt like we just couldn't get loose of whatever this thing is. I can't seem to find a way out. And then God sends us to a place where he can break the yoke. This is the purpose in the Jordan being instituted in this particular scripture. Naaman had to go to a place that was undesirable. But in the undesirable place was where his healing lived, So God uses these places in our life, these pit stops that we have throughout life, to clean us up and to prepare us for our destiny. Naaman was a man of character. He was a man of distinction. He was a man of honor. But he was still unclean. He still needed something. He still needed to be free of the leprosy that he was dealing with in his life. So even though he was the commander of the army, even though he had distinction, even though he had a beautiful home and he had land, even though he had all of these things, it still did not cure him of his leprosy. Until he went to see the man of God And even though he was frustrated, he was angry, he was irritated by the fact that the men of God didn't come out and do some grand gesture. When his servant spoke up and said, now, if he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Why is it so hard for us to do the simple things that God tells us to do to be blessed?
Mm.
We'd rather take the hard route.
Reverend Reed, or Pastor Reed, a lot of that has to do with pride.
Yes, sir.
A lot of that has to do with pride.
Right,
I mean, you're hitting everything, the nail on the head. And until we humble ourselves,
come on,
you know, to allow God to manifest himself to a situation that we feel that we can do on our own, till we've come to the end of saying, well, you know, I wonder what Naaman was going through his mind at the time. Was he just, well, I might as well give this a try. Ain't nothing else working.
Come
or
on.
Was he saying, there has to be something to this for me to have to go and, you know, crawl through what I call the Shawshank Redemption tunnel to come out on the other side clean? That would have taken, you know, I don't know if I would have done it. I mean, that in itself, I would have to give him credit in terms of, you know, go ahead on and try that. Come to my end, that nothing else will work. I might as well, like the other people were telling him, if he had asked you to climb Mount Everest, so to speak, you would have made an attempt to do that. But because he asked you to go wallow a little bit in the River Jordan, you seem like that's above you, or you're above that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being humbled is a beautiful thing sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have a couple other listeners that have indicated that they would like to share. Area code 574. And I believe Brother Clay is online, too. Brother Clay and area code 574, would you like to comment?
Amen. I just wanted to say, hello.
Yes, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you.
I just wanted to say that the brother from Cleveland, the 216 area code, he said it too. God has to manifest himself. And a lot of it to me, what Minister Reese was preaching, a lot of it to me says, you know, people try and manifest it. God has to manifest himself. People can't manifest it. I can't manifest God in my life. But God can manifest himself. And the problem is that, you know, we try and do too much, trying to get what God says, when God is the one who said it, so he has to be the one to manifest it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Area code 216.
Amen. I'm just listening and just taking everything in. Praise the Lord. I see another side of this is when God does something miraculous. It's not just of healing, but also of salvation.
Come on.
Others see something that is impossible to cure, and they are wavering on their faith, but seeing God's love for someone who has a disease that's one of the most diseases, you know, that any man could ever have, and God healing that's, you know, an illustration of true sacrifice, true love. And through that, I see others who are looking at this disease that no one would ever want to have, and God showing his love. Then I see salvation. I see others coming to God, those who are doubtful, choosing to accept God because of what they see. This just is an act of love as I see the healing part of it and salvation. just like the church, our church. You know, God wants to do miraculous things, and there are still doubters. There are still doubters, even though that we know that what God can do. But after we began to start to see, it's almost like, you know, doubting Thomas. After we see it, then we become a believer. You know, this is just an act of true love. That's, you know, when I look at this, that's what I see, and that's what we're supposed to be, a light, you know, a light, and how God is working through us. It's Minister Reeves, it's an outstanding story, outstanding illustration that you're giving, you know, and I'm definitely enjoying it and taking it all in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Minister Reeves, you want to continue?
One of the scripture I'd like to go to is Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse number 11. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, but I don't think we look at it the way we should. And it reads this way from the English Standard Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me read that in the King James.
Yes, what chapter and verse?
I'm sorry. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11.
Oh, verse 11. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In the King James, it reads this way, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Even though Naaman had a situation going on in his life, Jeremiah 29 and 11 was still in effect, because God knew the thoughts that he had toward him, to give him not just a future, but a hope. And in the midst of giving him a future and a hope, he gave him the opportunity to become saved. God takes us through the things that we go through in life to give us the opportunity. God, I wish I could teach this the way I see it. To give us the opportunity to grasp salvation and to hold on to it. Life is full of things that happen. It's full of hurdles. It's full of situations. It's full of circumstances. But God knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give us an expected end. He expects a return on his investment that he has made in you. I put it in you. God, I wish I could teach this for you. He says, I put it in you, and I expect a return. When you make a deposit in the bank, and your account begins to grow interest, you expect a return. Okay, let me go this way. If you put money into a certificate of deposit account, or a CD, a year from the time you put it in, you expect a return on the deposit that you made. So why would God not expect a deposit from us when he has made, or a return rather, from us off of the deposit that he has put in us? Okay,
amen.
Well, Mr. Reese, what is the deposit? Romans chapter 12. And verse number 3. No, let's start at verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
not only was Naaman healed of his leprosy, but his mindset had been changed. Verse
Amen.
Number 3 of Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For through the grace given unto me, I say to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has made a deposit of faith in us, so he expects a return of faith. If we would give back to God our lives as he has invested in us, he expects the return. And as we give back to him, he'll give back to us. It goes Amen. Back and forth, a giving and a receiving. It goes back and forth. This is why we have to be very conscious of the things that we listen to. We have to be conscious of the things that we see. We have to be conscious of the things that we say, because it's not what comes out of a man that come on.
Preach, honey.
Good God Almighty.
Take it, brother.
Amen. Area code 631, you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. This is so good. I wanted to just add to that Jeremiah 29 and 11 when he talked about Naaman. Yes, God knew his end. Even at the beginning, he knew Naaman was going to go through this. So all he wanted him to do is have faith in him and just walk it out. And that's what we need to do. Know that God knows our end at the beginning. Our faith in him is to just walk it out. Because he's
yeah.
already prepared that place for us. Just like the brother said, the blessing of a dirty place, an unclean place. You know what? God is so good, and our investment is our faith in God, which will multiply even the more in
Come
us, on. Through Come us, on. And then to extend that to someone else. And going back to when the brother was talking about, oh, my God, when he was talking about our faith to believe, maybe faith to believe the miracles, yes. You know what? We can be even unequally yoked in our belief, even in the body of Christ, we can be unequally yoked. And I'm not saying that one is any better than the other, but what I'm saying is if my mind is believing a house and your mind is still in the apartment and can't extend to where my mind is, you do hinder me.
My God.
You
my
do
God.
Hinder me. So I have to have a like-minded individual. So we can reach that, even when it comes down to healing. Even in my own life, I have to separate myself. Not in the sense of I'm better or separate myself from the people of God or those that are believing. But I have to have those like-minded people that if I need to see a miracle, if I want a miracle to happen in me, I want that individual to have that same mind.
Exactly.
Amen.
I'm just elaborating because what the brother is saying is good. I'm taking off over here or in Long Island, New York. I'm taking off.
Praise the Lord.
Good
Praise
stuff.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's all
Praise
I have to
Lord.
Say. That's all.
We only have a few more minutes. We have 5 more minutes, actually. So we want to give this time to our speaker.
The man of God, yes.
Summarize and bless us to the very last drop.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I just want to go. I feel so many scriptures coming, but I just want to go one more place. If James chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Amplified Version reads this way: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Verse number 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Here we go. His faith was tested. Naaman went to a place that was unclean on the surface. He didn't think it had any power in it. But because someone close to him said, look, if it had been some grand, crazy thing, you would have done it. So why not just do the simple thing? So he goes to the water and he dips himself. I believe the first time he said, okay, all right, my hand is a little clear. I see some color coming back. Let me see what else might happen. So he dipped again. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times. I wish I could teach this the way I see it real quick. A just man falleth 7 times. But in order to fall 7 times, I had to have gotten up 6.
Wow.
So despite what the enemy tries to do to me, God, I feel my preach coming. In spite of what the enemy tries to do to me, and every time he knocks me down, I can get back up. But each time I get up, I get up cleaner than I went down. God help me. I get up better than I went down. I get up freer than I went down. I get up stronger than I went down. I feel like Marvin Sapp right quick. I get up wiser than when I went down. When he knocked me down, I still got up with strength.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God, I thank you. So even though I fail, I still got back up. Naaman says, even though I got to go to this place, this is what I believe in my mind. He says within himself, okay, if I got to go here, I'm going to go here and do this thing. So something has got to manifest. This is the same mentality we have to have in the body of Christ. We have to get to the place where we believe God so much that when we get to the place that we're headed, we believe God is going to meet us there, not just at the moment, but he's going to meet us there and carry us through.
We're going to end our show right now. I thank you so much for listening. Minister Reese, we thank you for sharing with us this evening. We welcome your teaching, and we hope that you will teach again, that you'll meet us here at this time again. Really, this is New Beginnings Ministry, and we thank you for joining in with us. Remember, we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Father God,
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the good word that was read and shared. We thank you, Lord, for the interpretation. We thank you, Lord.
It's so hard.